Welcome, listeners. It's currently cold because it's January 2026 here in the great state of Alaska. We're here in Fairbanks at the KFAR studios. You're probably listening to us on 97.5 or 660 AM. If not, remember, you can always go to our app, KFAR Radio. Find it on the Apple Store or, I don't know, Google Store, Android Store, whatever the case may be.
All the stores.
All the stores. But nonetheless, you're here with Chuck, Cindy, and our tag-along Matt. Our homeless friend. And we have a special guest today.
Good morning.
It's Colonel Montana Kid Hammer. He's going to be joining us today on our special New Year's Shooters Corner edition. So thank you for joining us today, and we greatly appreciate it. This is a pre-recorded show, so it's no call-ins. So it's your day off. Fans. Everybody has a day off.
Everybody just gets to listen and happy new year and recover.
Yeah, there we go. So we won't be screaming too much into the microphone because you probably all have hangovers. All right. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. We're not going to talk about this week in firearms history because we don't know what really happened because this is a special edition. So we're just going to go ahead and ring in 2026. It's that time of the year when everyone talks about resolutions such as losing weight, saving money, or finally cleaning out the garage.
Or hitting the gym.
Yeah, that's not happening.
But I think one of the New Year's resolutions should be is cleaning your handguns.
Oh, that's funny you should say that because I think that's something that I mentioned.
Yeah.
Did you read ahead in the notes?
No, I didn't read ahead.
All right, awesome.
She's a good student.
Yeah. But for those of us who take the Second Amendment seriously, who carry daily or keep a firearm for protection, let's make resolutions that matter, ones that sharpen our skills, strengthen our mindset, and prepare us to protect others and those we love. Top of the list, commit to serious training in 2026. I'm not talking about just punching holes in paper once a year. Resolve to train regularly, dry fire at home, live fire sessions, force-on-force scenarios, and medical training like Stop the Bleed. Why? Because in a real threat, you are your own first responder. Think about it. Active shooter incidents often end in under 5 minutes, with many over before police arrive. FBI data shows police response times can be as little as 3 minutes in some cases, but in others, it's 10 to 15 minutes or more when you factor in notification delays. And let's factor in Alaska. It could be days before somebody shows up here because of storms and weather, depending on your location within this large, vast land. Right. Those critical first minutes, that's on you, the armed citizen, or the victims on scene. Civilians have stopped threats, saved lives, and made life or death decisions long before the pros get there. Training turns you from a potential victim into that capable protector. Training just doesn't teach you to shoot better. It fundamentally changes your behavior and mindset. Regular practice builds confidence under stress, sharpens decision-making, and inoculates you against panic. You'll scan your surroundings more, avoid trouble proactively, and react decisively if needed. It shifts you from reactive to proactive, aware, calm, and ready. Studies and real-world accounts show trained individuals handle high-stress encounters with clearer thinking and better outcomes. And here's the part that hits home. Others may rely on you. Your family at dinner, your kids at school events, friends at church, or strangers in a crowd. If you're caring, you're the sheepdog in the room. In a crisis, untrained people look to the capable, for leadership. Your training could be what stands between innocence and tragedy. So this new year, resolve to train like your life and others depends on it. Because it does. Hit the range more, take a class, mentor a new shooter. Let's make 2026 the year we all level up. So here from Shooter's Corner, stay safe, stay trained, and we'll see you downrange. That's my speech.
Amen.
Yeah.
Man.
That is very perfect.
Yeah, golf clap. Yeah, perfect for the new year. And yeah, I know everybody, kind of Cindy was alluding to it, like also make sure you like maybe inculcate some tasks such as cleaning your gun on a regular basis or guns or armory.
You know, we have these amazing calendars on our iPhones, and we can just set to say, hey, reminders, 6 months down the road.
Yeah. Kind of like changing your red dot battery.
Yeah.
Pick your birthday. I used to tell people, like, pick, like, your anniversary. But then I found people were, like, married 3 or 4 times, and it was confusing for them. So
pick a birthday.
I still remember it. I'd be changing it every other 4 years, and I finally do remember.
So, all right. So some additional talking points and stuff like that. And let's kind of, like, ramble on a little bit on this. I'd like to get your guys' feedback on this as well. These were some of the reasons why I thought that it was important that people become their own first responder as well, because I think the government has created this very dangerous illusion that they are the protectors and they're not going to be there in time. Like, I think a classic example is here in Alaska.
Yes.
The fact that it could take, depending, I mean, if a snow event is happening, like a snowstorm, like it could take 30 minutes just to get from Fairbanks to North Pole. And then if you had to go to Salcha, like, all bets are off. Like,
yeah.
So you might be the only person who's going to be able to stop whatever threat that may be occurring at that time.
Yeah, I like your statement about the government, you know, giving us that idea. But common sense is where you need to be to know what to have, when to have it. You know, like when I travel in the wintertime, I've got a tote that goes in my vehicle in case I'm mechanical. You know, it's not a gun, but it's one of those places I have to start along the way in winter up here in Alaska. And I can't think, well, you know, I can't hope that somebody will come with warm clothes in time, you know, and it just goes on from there to, you know, self-defense. And,
the military taught us to have the coffee can. You know, you can pull that up. You can just, what you put inside that coffee can could save your life or help you for a few more days. You know, the little candles to help keep you warm in your vehicle.
I like what you said, hope.
Hope, yeah.
It's funny because I actually have posted that, I believe, like either on Farcebook or on or on our website. Literally says, hope is not a self-defense plan.
Mm-mm.
Like, well, I hope this will happen. No. They're, no. You know, good job there, chucklehead. Like, that's not going to happen. Like, you have to develop your own self-defense plan. And you need to understand that the government, the police, actually have no legal duty to protect you as an individual.
Amen.
Right? I mean, the Supreme Court has actually ruled in multiple occasions. So, for instance, in the town of Castle Rock versus Gonzales back in 2005, a woman had a restraining order against her estranged husband. He violated it, kidnapped, and killed their 3 daughters. Police ignored her repeated pleas for help. Court ruled 7-2, no constitutional duty to enforce the order of protector, even when the law said mandatory arrest.
Wow.
There's only specific times where the government has a duty to protect you, and that's if they have developed a relationship with you. Like, so if they say, yes, we're on our way kind of thing, or if you're like a prisoner, they have a duty to protect you, right? So, I mean, the bottom line, to protect and serve, is probably kind of a slogan. They're not there to necessarily protect you because they might not be there. I hate to say it that way, but that's kind of the reality of it.
No, but isn't that an American at heart? You know, when we were first came to the continent and we headed out west, we were self-sufficient. You know, we took what we knew we had to have. And, you know, could we use the help of others like lawmen? Certainly. But why was I expecting that? That's not the American mindset that I hold.
And I think a lot of us hold that, like, self-reliance near and dear to our heart. I mean, I do. I hate asking people to borrow stuff. Like, I have.
You do, but
I probably have
a
couple 40-foot Connexes that are full of stuff just so we can self-sustain through the winter.
I'd rather pull my nails out than ask people for, hey, can you help me with this? Hey, can you come over and do? Nope.
Yeah.
I know that seems to be really hard. I see that all the time with you guys. And women are a little bit different. We're willing to say it's okay to ask for help.
And it certainly is. Even, you know, I mean, I ask for help, but
no, I, Teresa doesn't agree with me.
Yeah, I make it. There's things I can take care of me for.
Sure.
Yeah, and I do that. And again, I like Matt, I don't necessarily want to burden people, But I know when enough's enough and I can utilize some help. Well, that's, again, more common sense level. But it just, you know, I need a cup of flour or, you know, air in my tire. I can do that.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
But I think that's where you differ from a stupid man, right? Because every man for the most part wants to be self-sufficient, right? They want to be able to take care of themselves, all that. But a smart man will understand his limitations or the limitations put in front of him and say, I need to ask for help. I have no problem doing that, but that's like the last case scenario. I don't know how to do this, or I don't have the tool, then I'll ask. But I want to run through everything first before I actually have to ask.
Which I agree with you, Matt, on that.
All right. Well, great discussion on that. When we come back from this break, we'll continue on this discussion about training and how I think the government has literally programmed people now to become reliant on them. I think it's kind of the newfound social system, if you will, right? So I think we're migrating that way. Sad to say, but nonetheless, welcome once again to our Shooter's Corner New Year's edition, and we'll be right back after this break. Welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck, Cindy, Matt, and our special guest, Colonel Montana Kid Hammer, the Hammer. It almost sounds like a wrestling name.
It does.
It's Hammer time.
And you're here with us on our special edition of Shooter's Corner for New Year's Day, January 1, 2026. And when we left off, we were talking about how the importance of training. So if you missed my editorial, please go back and listen to that. You can always do that on the archives as well. And we were talking about how the government doesn't necessarily have a duty to protect you. So you are your own first responder. I think some of the classic ones as well was the FBI studies have actually shown that active shooter incidents show most are over before the police arrive. Okay, so on average, duration is often 5 to 12 minutes, with 69% lasting 5 minutes or less. Many under 2 minutes, right? So I think that's why it's incredibly important that you are there as a responsible, trained, armed citizen, being able to exercise your right to defend yourself and maybe the right and defend others, right? Fair enough. Okay. Up to 60% of the incidents end before police even get there. The shooter stops, flees, or is stopped by others. Studies also have shown that if police are arriving with their sirens on, active shooter hears it and sometimes will only take their own life, too. So there's that as a solver. You're the first responder's examples. So Sutherland Springs Church in 2017, an armed neighbor engaged the shooter, wounding him and forcing him to flee before police arrived. Greenwood Mall in 2022. I think everybody's heard of this.
Yep.
Elijah Dickin stopped a shooter in 15 seconds with 10 shots from 40 yards. So, and he did that with iron sights.
Glock.
And a Glock.
Yep.
And iron sights. White Settlement Church in 2019. An armed parishioner, Jack Wilson, dropped a shooter with one shot in seconds. And that was a headshot.
With SIG 357. That is a big round.
The 357 SIG?
Yeah.
Okay. It's not necessarily a big round. It's a neck down.
But I mean, compared to 9mm or something to one tap someone with, like that's, you are putting them down.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough.
That cartridge will do that. Yes.
Yeah, for sure. So armed citizens have stopped threats in dozens of cases, okay, in recent years, and often faster and with less collateral damage than waiting for the police. So I think disarming citizens makes you a victim. Period. There's some classic examples that just have recently occurred. Not to put a time hack on it, but we've all seen what has happened in other countries as well. So,
absolutely.
Without the means to defend yourself, you're helpless against immediate threats such as home invasions, carjackings, active shooters. Criminals don't disarm. They ignore the laws. People need to understand that. Oh, my God, we have a law. No firearms are allowed. Oh, yeah. Okay. You mean the guy who's going in to break in anyways or steal something is going to pay attention to that? Like, I doubt it. Okay.
It's the wrong mentality.
Yeah. When government strips firearms from law-abiding citizen, it creates subservience. You become reliant on the state for protection it legally doesn't owe you. And I think that's probably the biggest thing. I think there's a couple reasons why the government would love to disarm everybody. One, because it makes them like you subservient to everything that they do. Yeah. Which is one of the things that the founders saw and recognized that we didn't want to have that here.
We are sovereigns in this nation, and the way the government is functioning now, we are they are the leaders, and we are the followers, the sheep. And that is totally contrary to our republic's design.
The representative part of it, yeah. Especially.
Yes.
Yeah. I chuckle about that sometimes when you hear somebody go like, I want to be your leader in Washington. No, I need you to be my representative.
Yep.
Precisely. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let me see what I can do.
There's a couple people that I have not voted for because of that language.
Or they're saying, this is what I can do, I can do, I can do for you. And it should be what I can do for everyone. It's not what you can do for yourself. It's what you can do for the people.
Yeah. So the founder's vision, the Second Amendment, right? So James Madison in Federalist 46 said armed citizens could resist if federal government become tyrannical militias outnumbering standing armies. Tench Cox in 1789, as civil rulers may attempt to tyrannize, the people are confirmed in their right to keep and bear their private arms. Thomas Jefferson, laws forbidding arms disarm only those who are neither inclined nor determined to commit crimes. Such laws make things worse for the assaulted and better for the assailants. Very true. There'd be a lot more thieving if a lot more people were disarmed, to be honest with you. I think that's what kind of keeps people at bay sometimes. I don't know if that armed citizen exists.
That's why everyone's so happy up here in Texas. Everyone you assume is armed. You're going to smile and
did
wave.
You just say up here in Texas?
You no, did.
No, I
you
said in up here and in Texas. Texas.
You didn't say and.
I absolutely. I play it back. Play it back.
Second Amendment isn't just for a hunting or sport. It's the ultimate safeguard against government tyranny. Founders saw an armed citizenry essential to liberty, preventing the need for revolution by deterring overreach. They wrote it because they knew power corrupts and the people must retain the means of independence. So to wrap that up, in 2026, resolve to train, much like I stated in my editorial, carry and understand you are responsible for your safety and your families. The government won't and legally can't always be there. The founders built this country on self-reliance, not dependence. Stay armed, stay trained, stay free. All right, so thoughts, New Year's resolutions. Cindy's resolution is to treat her husband better.
No, no, no.
I'll forward that
I
to my wife.
I already treat you. You two are awful.
I'm sorry.
I am just going to work on my training.
Of what?
My training with my Glock, my training with my ARs.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And I would like to be able to take my AR apart in the dark and put it back together in the dark.
Ooh, that's a goal.
Been there,
that's
done
a relationship
that.
Goal, too. That's yes. A great goal.
Yeah, that is definitely is. A relationship
that,
goal.
Not a lot of relationships have that. That is great.
Yeah. And you have an AK you can do that with, too.
Yes.
That's even cooler. Mm-hmm. That's cool. Like a Haji in a cave. Just putting it back together. No lamp to see the day.
Yep. That's my goal.
Except for a flashbang.
That's true. And SEAL Team 6.
All right, so we got to do this. We got to do this then.
You'll have to help me with
that. Oh, I'm going to. I'm going to, yeah. So we'll start out with just a blindfold, and then I'm going to move your parts all around. But we'll keep them like within a perimeter.
Maybe we should.
So I won't like take your firing pin, retaining pin, and like just totally remove it, period.
Yeah.
And you'll be searching forever for it.
Take a cotter pin out of a box. I think that's it.
Add parts.
Yeah.
Oh, add parts.
If I can interject really quick, we used to do this in my unit. Every Friday, the battalion would have to do a competition. And when our company chose the competition, we would take 3 machine guns, 3 M4s, 3 shotguns, 3 pistols, and we'd take it all apart and throw it in a pile. And then you'd have to put it back together. The company that could do that the fastest would win. And that was a nightmare, doing it with 12 firearms. I can't imagine doing it with one, but throwing random parts in there that don't make sense.
Yeah.
That would be a mess. And then you get the wrong part. Hopefully you don't get the wrong part.
Well, that's just a drill.
That's what a functions test is for.
This Glock firing pin doesn't fit in my bolt carrier group. That's weird.
I think
that's what a hammer's for.
Yep.
I think our other
infantry way.
Yeah.
Didn't fit. I need a BFH.
Get it in there.
Get it in there. No, our other resolution should be for trying to really get out there and push out, stop the bleed, the tourniquets.
Agreed.
So that should be our goal as a company next year.
And I should get in line for that.
Yeah. So, yeah. Speaking of that, what are you thinking there, Colonel? What's your resolution for the year? Maybe?
Well, one of the things that I would like to do, mainly because I will go on a range, and I'm going to pick on South Cushman just as it, and that is being there and watching people drag out wash machines or flat screen TVs and stuff and start shooting at them. I was at the range about 5 years ago. And a couple in their 50s came out. They had an AR, and the woman was going to learn to shoot it, and they brought out cereal boxes. There was a lot of water on the bay, so they floated up and kept floating right up in front of them. So there was an old compressor, small air compressor, so they were going to shoot at that. I was putting myself away about that time, and I did walk over and ask them. I said, if you're going to shoot at that, make sure you work on the tank body. I turned around to walk away, and they fired, and she shot high and hit those fins. A piece of the jacket came over my shoulder. A part of it nicked my neck, and then a part of it struck my truck. And, of course, when I turned around, they were just like, deer in the headlights. And I said, these are not approved targets. I said, I have paper and so on and so forth if I can help you. But making your environment safe to shoot in, maybe not quite as important as training and practicing, but it is something. So, again, my resolution is to help people understand what makes good targets and what doesn't, because they can hurt themselves as much as they can hurt others.
Yes.
I think they should pass to where they only should be using legal targets out on the range.
Well, I'm sure they have. I'm sure they have some sign down there that says these are not approved, but I get it. And I definitely understand where you're coming from. Probably one of the main reasons why I don't go down there. So, because of the safety reasons. But all right, when we come back, we'll start on my resolutions, and then we'll see if Matt has any as well. He's still mulling over whether he said Texas or Alaska.
Get out of here.
we'll figure that out when the time comes on. All right, so, hey, thank you for joining us here at Shooter's Corner Special Edition, for New Year's Special Edition, I should say, for ringing in 2026. And we appreciate you joining us on our show here, as always. We got Chuck, Cindy, and Matt, and Colonel Montana Kid the Hammer in the show with us today. So, greatly appreciate it. We'll be right back after this mandatory break. Welcome back, listeners. You're with Chuck, Cindy, Matt, and our special guest, Colonel Montana Kid the Hammer, in the studios. I got to continue to do that. I'm sorry.
It'll work.
Yeah, I know. I'm getting a laugh out of you, so that's all good then. Yeah, so we're here at our special edition of Shooter's Corner for New Year's Day. It being January 1st, if you happen to sleep through or drink too much yesterday, it is January 1st, 2026. So we're talking about New Year's resolutions. Cindy has hers to treat me better and to clean her gun, which is kind of weird that she put it in that sequence. But nonetheless.
I think you said treat you better. I think you're pretty spoiled.
I know. Fair enough. And then the colonel was talking about maybe training people a little bit better, maybe making himself a little bit more accessible in that regard. And you actually had a valid point that we had talked about during the break, and I appreciate the education on that. Like, because I had made the comment, I don't like going down there because of, and you were like, well, then we just acquiesced to maybe some stupidity.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so maybe we need to just make sure we're down there in a position to where we can continue to educate. And I was like, you know what, that's valid.
You know, it's strange. You know, we do self-defense to save our lives and the lives of others. This could very possibly save the lives of someone else,
yeah,
who was, you know, somebody who came just to have a recreational moment with their handgun, and somebody else getting careless, and then that other person suffering in some manner. And, of course, everybody will lose when that happens.
Yeah.
I think the takeaway on that is then if you are a responsible armed citizen, I mean, and you're down there and you're practicing and you see somebody that's maybe doing something that you consider to be unsafe, take the opportunity to educate them in a
polite way.
In a tactful way.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, don't go over there and be some just raging like.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons, like I said, I'll walk up gently and make myself, my presence known. Then I'll show them my credentials so that they know I'm, you know, not some loon, mm-hmm, and I try to keep, you know, I don't want to escalate anything. I want to de-escalate,
sure,
the situation and the ignorance. And again, I'm not calling people dirty names, but I call them ignorant. Ignorance just means you simply do not know.
Yeah.
I want to help you have knowledge.
I like that. And also the fact that I like that you said that you walked over gently. Is that like stealthily?
Pretty much. I wasn't there, and then I was. like yeah. just kind of appeared.
I like that. I like that. I need to walk more gently, too.
Yeah, squatty, Scotty beat me down.
Heel to toe.
Yeah, heel to toe, toe to heel. Yeah, that's perfect. All right, but so my New Year's resolutions. To love myself. Yeah. Just kidding. I definitely need to clean my farm more often. This is a test. I got to be honest with you. This is a test. I think I have a couple Glocks that are over 10, 15,000 rounds now that I have not like disassembled and cleaned.
Well, I think we're
going
to
have a
cleaning date. That's a testament to Glock. Yeah, that's working.
A cleaning date.
What?
And take your wife on more dates.
Yeah, well, we could do that after we clean because I got to tell you, Hoppy's number 9 is an aphrodisiac. I think it's an excellent, cologne.
Yeah,
yeah. You start using that, you see sounds. It is a great, great thing.
It's not LSD, Matt.
No, but you sit there and you spill a little too much.
I hear colors.
Yeah.
I usually wear a mask because I don't like the smell.
And who knows? Maybe a criminal will smell the hoppies on you and decide to go the other way.
Oh, so it could be a repellent as well. Oh, well.
Well, I walked into that one, didn't I?
Yep.
Yeah.
I'll take advantage of that. All right. So, anywho, I would say probably lose weight, but I've already done that. Let's see. Hit the gym more. I've already done that. I don't know. Kind of perfect in all ways.
Take your maybe clean your office.
Oh, there we go. Now you just stuck the knife in. And
I did.
All right, everyone, let's leave.
The office kind of sucks. Yeah, the office kind of sucks.
I can only clean my office after I get approval from the Corps of Engineers and they bring in equipment.
Well, that's we're getting to that point.
Oh, your office being outside at the range or something?
I go in and look for a book and I can't find the book.
But it's in there.
It's in there.
Because it's under a bunch of other books. So, all right, Matt.
I've got just a few. My first one is being a better father and a better husband because no one's perfect and my family is everything to me. So
did you just segue off my perfection?
Yeah, but see, I didn't make it about me.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Matt.
Cindy, you're still in the hot seat. No,
I'm not.
But
go back to playing with your cord and paper and candy wrappers.
I keep getting in trouble. I have to draw or do something with my hands all the time, and I'm making too much noise.
Cindy, a fidget spinner for Christmas.
Or as Matt says, make people, the listeners, think that their serpentine belt is falling off their cars or driving through the road. All right, so Matt, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. I want to, because my biggest thing is I feel like when you're so busy, you forget to notice and appreciate the little things of your day-to-day life with your family, the little small funny times and all that. And then when you get older and you start to have more time, you start to reminisce instead of being appreciative in the moment. So that's my first thing. My other thing is I want to continue to get better. So we talk about training. And that's what I've been doing and I want to continue to do because no one is the best and there's always going to be someone that's better than you. So I want to be sure that if a time arises where – I have to be tested on, you know, how good am I of a shooter, or if I get into put in a situation where I have to defend myself and my family, I don't want to be falling behind where I need to be. So that's why I like going to the USPSA matches. A lot of people, the last few years, it's gotten a lot more traction and it's seen in a better light, but people still call it a game and you're gaming this and you're doing all this stuff. And that's, you know, not what it is at all. You're not actively going out and shooting, you know, 12 active shooters like you would in a USPSA match with your targets, but it helps you transition. It helps you become better at reloading. It helps you focus on what's important at what range, your height overbore, all that. So that's really fun. And the other thing I think arguably almost as big as being a better father and better husband is being more attentive to my friends, my social life, because I tend to kind of pull back and I just want to focus on my family. But then my wife would be like, you need to get out of the house, go do something. Like, I can't stand you. The way you're chewing is upsetting me. And I'm like, okay. So, you know, checking up on all my old army buddies, checking in on you guys, you know, making sure everyone's good and just kind of keeping that around, keeping a sense of community going. Cause I think that's extremely important, especially if you're the person that self-isolates and you don't have that community to check on you, you can fall into a deep pit, especially when it starts to get dark and cold and maybe people don't go back home for, you know, holidays and all that sorts of stuff. Like, having someone to check in on you can be a really nice way to continue on your day. So those are my resolutions.
Matt, you kind of hit a home run with me in the statement of taking care of the little things. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing whether it's the little things with your firearms, the little things with your family, little things with your lesson plans, tweaking those things and all. Too often we're focused on the big picture. And in my life, I've taken a fall because I neglected the little things till it wasn't little anymore.
Yep. Yeah, it just continues. It snowballs.
I have to agree with you. And we even sometimes focus on everybody else but ourselves and what we need to improve on or what our goals are. We think about everybody else before we do ourselves. But to be healthy, we have to think about us. Like, I need to be on that range more. And I need to focus on that. And every time I add something to my schedule, I take something away I enjoy doing.
Yeah.
And Chuck, you had said, you know, and maybe humorously, but taking care of yourself, that's important, because if you're not taken care of, you will soon lack the ability to look at the little things, maintain other. So I did it. I took that as a positive and
appreciate it. That was the intent. Yeah. I think it's important that you need taking care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
True. Because when you start to become decrepit, then you become a liability and not an asset.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of how I view the world. So it's important to maintain your level of fitness and stuff like that as well. So it's amazing to me how I see people that'll like continue to get, you know, like chunky, however you want to say it, and then they retire from a particular career field, and then all of a sudden they get in shape. It's like, dude, you didn't do that while you were in?
Yep. They didn't care.
Military or as a law enforcement or whatever, like all of a sudden, like now?
But a lot of that falls on. It could be depression. There's a number of things that happen. But
sure.
I think belonging to your community.
Everybody has a season. So.
They do have a season.
But then again, that can't also be excused if you're still in that job. Like, it's okay to have problems. But if your problems leak into your work, and especially like Chuck, in your line of duty, you know, you're out there and you have to protect people. Like, if you start to fall at home, you're going to start to fall at work, and then that's going to you essentially become a bigger liability all in all together.
So cool. I think our takeaways were to what?
Train.
Educate people.
Educate.
Get fit.
Stay fit.
Yep.
Take care of ourselves.
Take care of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Focus on the little things so they don't manifest into large things.
Yep.
Yeah, very much.
And
so.
Then
reach out for help if you need it.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. So even our listeners. If you need some assistance or help with something like that, feel free to reach out to us.
Yes, so, please.
Training facility or something like that, call us as well.
You know, and if you trained with Chuck and I, send us an email if there's something you need. We always let you know. If there's something you need help with, reach out to us. Between Matt, Chuck, and I, we're here for you.
Yeah, so I guess that's a good segue into our break, though. But you can always reach us at c4traininggroup.com. There we go. And throw that in there. But nonetheless, love it. So we got to go into our next break and last break, right? Perfect. Last break. And then we'll be right back after this break here at Shooter's Corner. Chuck, Cindy, Matt, and our special guest, Colonel Montana Kid Hammer, New Year's edition. Welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck, Cindy, Matt, and our special guest, Colonel Montana Kid Hammer, for our Shooter's Corner special New Year's edition. Yep. The Hammer.
The Hammer.
All right. So anyways. We were talking about our New Year's resolutions and a bunch of other stuff. So if you've ever missed it, feel free to go back to our archives, kfarradio.com, and you can pull up the entire show, plus our past shows as well. And remember, you can always listen live at the KFAR app for your iPhone or your Android device. And, pretty cool, I think, that you can do that with technology nowadays. So not like reading a book. Firearms training focused New Year's resolutions for 2026. We all talked about what we were going to do. Some of these segue right into that. That's perfectly fine. But I would say if you're looking to level up as a shooter, maybe as an armed citizen, an enthusiast, take some of your resolutions, tie them to that practical progressive training, okay? And then we'll build on some of these core principles like safety, proficiency, and self-reliance. I would say you have to commit a certain amount of time It doesn't necessarily have to be every day, unless you're that level of practitioner, but at least once a week, practice something, like just dry practice. I think a good device for that as well, we talked about it on other shows, is the Mantis X.
Yeah.
Yep.
The ability for it to see your holster present. Well, the Mantis X10, you can literally track your holster presentations and then the pre-ignition push, so your trigger presses, your sight alignments, how much they move before the round goes off, or even dry practicing, how much it moves before that click goes off, mm-hmm. right before that hammer or that striker falls. I mean, so there's all kinds of stuff that you can work on. But I would say you need to master your basics, right? So the saying is, in most of the world, is the best do the basics better, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or as we train is how we fight.
Correct. But, or as I like telling students too, like, perfect practice makes perfect. So if you can't do it right, then just slow it down until you get it right and get those neural muscular pathways to be programmed and firing in a sequence so that when you have to transition from your prefrontal cortex to your amygdala, it literally just happens on instinct.
And that's the spot on, because I have watched people, they came and to the range to shoot, and I asked them, well, do you practice? Well, yeah, I practice, but they didn't learn it correctly the first time. And
yeah.
You can get as proficient at being sloppy with your fundamentals as you can practice perfect to be perfect. So that's something they need to get the right help to start.
Agreed. Yeah. So you got to master those basic, like, stance. I know that the NRA has, like, the 7 fundamentals of marksmanship, and one of them being his position, right? Or stance, if you want to call it that.
Right.
Could you have an absolutely screwed-up position in an active shooter, like gunfight or, you know, situation?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be. You're not going to get into that range position. So I would say the focus, more than anything, needs to be on, if you're going to practice fundamentals, I would say if you're going to want to work on anything, work on trigger press, so that trigger control, right? Aiming, which consists of your sight alignment and sight picture, whether it's with an iron sights or the red dot, doesn't matter, right? They are still applicable, except it's not a front sight focus with a red dot. It's now target focus, superimposed dot press trigger. And then work on grip. And you work on your grip through a series of, well, you almost really need to work on grip through not just dry practice, but live fire.
Yep.
Yeah.
Shoot multiple rounds. So if you're just going to the range and you're shooting 2 rounds and you're having to readjust your grip, that's a grip problem.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the reasons why I see a lot more qualifications nowadays going to like 10 rounds. Because at about round 5 or 6, if you have poor fundamentals with your grip starts falling apart.
Absolutely.
And so work on grip, right? And remember, as always, grip extends through the wrist, right?
Yes.
So,
yep.
Like I tell shooters all the time, your forearm needs to be tight as well, right? So, breath control is always another one of those fundamentals that I think people could work on as well. If you get amped up really fast over life situations, maybe, you know, like triangulate breathe or combat breathe or whatever the technique you want to use is, right? I even find myself doing this, I don't know, when I can't find my belt. Right, it's like, all right. Cindy's even like, breathe. Thank you. Refer
that
reminder.
Was quite the issue this it's morning.
Deep breathing.
And it would be like, yeah, breathe in, hold 4 seconds, inhale, 4 seconds, hold 4 seconds, exhale. Right, just refocus yourself. I think those are important. Doing these and practicing these, because it helps establish those fundamentals. And if you can do at least 1,000 reps of a month. I think that's reasonable. What say you?
Absolutely.
At a minimum. Yeah. I mean, you're a shooter. You do a shooting club thing.
Yeah. You know,
Matt, you as well.
Yeah. Going back to practice, because people ask me, where do you get time to write your books? I said, one, I don't watch television, but two, I started out 20 minutes every other day, and in time, I built it to where I would work up to 4 hours. In a day to get those books done. And it's the same process with anything you need to master. Start small, because your brain, a lot of people don't realize that shooting is 80% mental, 20% physical. And if you don't believe me, when you first start doing it, you're going to find yourself dizzy and tired if you're doing it right. So that's something that you have to work on and build up until it just becomes second nature.
If, and speaking on the thing you brought up, Chuck, with just the breathing alone, if you guys like apps, there's an app called Cardia, starts with a K, and it focuses on breathing. It's actually a de-stress and de-anxiety, aid. But I actually use that a lot for long-distance shooting, helping getting my breathing into a pattern where I know exactly mm-hmm. where I can get my my beats per minute down and all that. And you'll notice, like, scientifically, when you're breathing out, that's when you're de-stressing. You're slowing your heart rate down when you're breathing, and you're filling your body with oxygen. You're getting your heart pump faster, all that stuff. So understanding, you know, it sounds so simple, and to some people it may sound stupid. Oh, I can breathe. But when you really want to get to a point where stress management in, you know, your tactical environment is important, because it really is, small things like that where you might be overthinking every possible outcome, something could be active shooter scenario, you don't know what's going on. If you don't focus on getting yourself in a position to fight back, which includes your breathing and all that, you're setting yourself up for failure. So definitely focusing on that and taking that tactical pause.
Well, you know, martial arts, they work with breathing.
Yep. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Very much so. That's half of their game.
Yep. What I've found is people who are in a stressful situation sometimes will forget to breathe. So I've seen new shooters especially that will hold their breath.
Yeah.
And it kind of goes back to what Mike Ox talks about in his Red Dot Fundamentals books as well, is there's three things that people tend to focus on more than a trigger press. One is their position, because if they're not balanced, they tend to like get pushed back on their heels when they're shooting, which then causes the brain to literally say, don't fall, don't fall, don't fall, which is the second leading cause of death for humans, right, internationally. So now it's not focused on aiming and trigger press. Now it's focused on, oh, you got a crappy position. And so now that's the mantra that's now playing in your head.
Yes.
Two, they hold their breath because the gunpowder explodes and then the body thinks, don't breathe that stuff in. It's poison.
Yeah.
That's fact.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
And so they hold their breath while they're shooting. In a stressful situation, they might hold their breath as a self-preservation factor as well, right? Yes. They just forget to breathe. So that's why I say that combat breathing and stuff like that is important. Also, the whole like training under stress, I got to tell you, just a simple timer.
Yeah.
Like if you were just doing dry practice presentations with a timer in your house, or just doing reload drills with a timer in your house, and having a time standard puts stress on you. And then you're going to find that your heart rate is going to get elevated and your breathing rate is going to get elevated as well.
Yeah, you want to get stress and all that, you just go to a USPSA match. It's not a stressful environment, but once right. that timer goes off, you yeah. think about every problem you possibly could have, and then you'll manifest it. Like, it can be stressful, but also a good way
but
to go through it.
But that's good, though,
oh, it's
because
great,
it develops
yeah.
that stress inoculation. Yep. So when the crap does hit the fan in real life, you're like, boom, I got this. I've seen this before.
Yep.
We see this in cowboy action, especially with new shooters. I'll remind them, when the buzzer goes off, all that means is go ahead and start.
Yep.
Because
that's
the buzzer,
permission.
Yeah, the buzzer goes off, and then they look at you like, what am I supposed to do now? They knew what to do before the buzzer went off. Buzzer went off, and their mind was blanked.
I think that's a perfect example, because I know a lot of shooters that say when the timer is the equivalent to the Men in Black pen.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
If you make that movie reference, you know?
Yep.
So, yeah. So, let's see. Long range and precision shooting. So, even with your handguns, maybe work on drilling down at 25 yards or something like that and practice the fundamental of just getting really good, tight shot groups. Just slow yep. it down. Like I said before, perfect practice makes perfect. You could also get into long range rifle courses and stuff like that. Help
yeah.
you work on all
oh, yeah.
of those fundamentals as well. I don't know. Do you guys do any long range? What's your longest range that you'd maybe do with a rifle or something like that? Because you just shoot 22, or do you guys like shoot?
We shoot pistol caliber cartridges and some 22. Normally, our range is for rifle at 50 at max, unless we can find a range, a side match range.
So you're not doing some Wild Bill Hickok, you know, 800 yard buffalo shoots?
No, yeah.
That'd be cool. Anybody do that up here? Is that real thing anymore? Like, that'd be super cool. But Anyways, I think it's about that time to close. And so we really appreciate all of you staying with us on this New Year's special edition of Shooter's Corner. As always, it's great to have Colonel Montana Kid, the Hammer, in the house with us today. And Cindy, I appreciate you. And I hope we have another great year as well. So, Matt, I know you're kind of new to our family and stuff like that, but we appreciate you. So,
thank you, Papa.
Everything you bring to the Jesus, don't do that. Everything you bring to the program as well.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, and as always, we got to say a special shout out to Teresa.
Yeah,
love the Teresa board for us as always. So, all right, everybody, have a great new year. Hope to see you in future training. And as always, come visit us on Thursdays, 11 to 12, Shooter's Corner here at KFAR 97.5, 6:60 a.m.